Good morning, beloved. Back to Psalm 8 as we are marching meditatively and slowly savoring our way through this psalm. Pray for me, please, as I am busy preparing my Theology 3 syllabi for which is my next project for a seminary class upcoming. And we are on the doctrine of man, anthropology, and that is what Psalm 8 is all about in many ways, and how grateful we are for the biblical view of man in contrast to the very confused and a very hopeless view of man in every other culture and religion and philosophy. Remember, we're looking here at praise from the puny. We're looking at two contrasts, first of all, between babes and bullies, and then second of all, between man's puniness and man's prominence, man's insignificance, and yet his profound significance, the great paradox of this psalm that ought to provoke our praise along with David. Now, the question rang out in verse 4. What is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Now, if you have ears to hear, if you're willing to listen to the question, God's answer echoes back and rings out loud and clear in verse 5. Yet you have made him, man, a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. And we're back to the sweet pronoun of verses 1 and again in the end in verse 9, our Lord, our God. This is the implication here in verse 5, that though we are puny, yet we are invited to this kind of relationship with the Lord, made in his image and likeness. As one writer puts it well, nowhere in all the Bible is man's dignity asserted more clearly and boldly than in Psalm 8. As I mentioned earlier in the week, the glory of man is a major theme of Psalm 8, which points to the greater glory of God, in whom we are patterned after and whose image and likeness we were created, unlike any of the other creatures. And nowhere in any other world religion or any other worldview is man given such a noble purpose and a high calling. Just read missions history and look at the history of Christianity. Wherever the gospel goes, the view of human dignity is skyrockets and elevates from where it was before. Verse 5, God has crowned you, man, woman, boy, or girl, young or old, rich or poor. God has crowned you with glory and majesty. How is your crown lately? Are you still wearing it? It is yours, whether you like it or not, whether you feel it or not. It's what it means to be human. Specifically, look here in verse 5. David says, Lord, you have made man a little lower than God. Or it could be translated angels. It's the Hebrew word Elohim. It's normally God. But it can be angels or heavenly beings, as in some good translations. And the strength of that view is the New Testament usage of this verse, based on the Septuagint, the Greek Old Testament, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 7 in the New Testament, we'll look at in a moment, translates it angels. But either way, the point is the same. David is singing of the shocking significance God has given to an insignificant nothing like man. God has taken us, creatures so small and low, and assigned us to the highest earthly position. As Calvin writes, God's wonderful goodness is displayed the more brightly in that so glorious a creator, whose majesty shines resplendently in the heavens, graciously condescends to adorn a creature so miserable and vile as man is with the greatest glory and to enrich him with numberless blessings. Or as Alfred Russel Wallace, co-discoverer with Darwin of the theory of natural selection, as he said, and by the way, this is why he was known as Darwin's heretic, because he refused to accept Darwin's atheism. He refused to join in Darwin's unbelief. No, Dr. Wallace dared to believe in intelligent design, and he got denounced and condemned and by Darwin and damned by Darwinists who followed. Wallace wrote a book entitled Man's Place in the Universe, showing the uniqueness of man's purpose. You see, beloved, Psalm 8 is all about God's majesty revealed in man's dignity. What is one of the most striking demonstrations of God's greatness? You. Humanity. People. How wonderful are your works? My soul knows it very well, Psalm 139, because of the intricate way God has woven people, starting in their mother's womb. That's why we hate abortion and we protest loudly against the murder of infants. Psalm 8 is about the greatness of man as an exhibit of the greatness of God. It's about the glory of man as a signpost pointing to the greater glory, the glory of God himself, the man maker, the creator of humanity. This is why ethics matter, friends. It's why Christians speak up for the sanctity of life and for the terminally ill and the aging. You see, to tamper with human life is to tamper with the majesty of God, to put the quality and the comfort of human life over its God-given sanctity. It's to assault the character of God. It's to steal his glory. It's to try and steal man's crown and dethrone human dignity. This coronavirus is a great evangelistic opportunity for us, friends. Ask your unsaved co-workers and neighbors and loved ones, why are you so upset about the people that the COVID-19 is killing, which is mostly the old and frail and vulnerable? Why, if you believe in Darwinian evolution, if you accept evolutionary theory, as most people do today, it's survival of the fittest. COVID-19 is very logical for a Darwinian, but not for a Christian, not for those who have always stood for the sanctity of human life, no matter what its quality or its age or its frailty. Well, keep reading here in Psalm 8. What was it King Adam and Queen Eve were crowned to do? Look now at their destiny, their destiny, and as we'll see, ultimately, Christ's destiny. Verse 6, speaking to God, praising the Lord. You made him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, all also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. The seas. Astonishing, incredible that God took us from the dust and called us to reign over this entire planet. What grace, what glory, what a high, high calling. David's mind is dripping with Genesis 1 and 2 here, and the Creator's original plan for man to be God's deputy rulers. We were to be and still are to be God's vice regents and lords over creation. Naming the animals, subduing the earth, cultivating the planet, harnessing nature's potential for human good. As Ray Comfort writes, man is not just another animal on the evolutionary food chain. God has given him dominion or authority over all the animals, Genesis 1:28. Man is intellectually superior to them and has priority over them. Every animal is under man's feet. We see here in verse 6, and may be brought into submission by him. James 3 even talks about taming of every creature except the tongue. Ray Comfort continues, birds can be taught to speak. With the crack of a whip, lions will do what he says. Even killer whales obey human voices. Man's dominion is obvious. Cows yield milk for his cereal, cheese for his hamburger, butter for his bread, yogurt to keep him healthy, ice cream to delight his taste buds. The same cow gives him meat to keep him strong and leather to keep him warm. Sheep and goats also yield many of these same products. The chicken makes eggs for his breakfast and provides finger-licking meat for his dinner. The sea overflows with an incredible variety of fish for us to catch and eat. Dogs protect our property and herd our sheep. Elephants lift great weights for us. Camels carry us across deserts. The horse is perfectly designed to be ridden by man. You have made him to rule over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet. Verse 6, 7, and 8 tell us, or as Isaac Watts puts it, O Lord, our heavenly King, thy name is all divine. Thy glories round the earth are spread, and o'er the heavens they shine. When to thy works on high I raise my wondering eyes, and see the moon complete in light, adore the darksome skies, when I survey the stars and all their shining forms. Lord, what is man, that worthless thing, akin to dust and worms? Amen. See you in the morning.